Hello and welcome to episode 6 of season 2 of Piano Lessons. Mark Piano, back in the comforts of the Cayman Islands. Great to see you.
Yes, likewise. It's a bit warmer here, but really good to be back and very special guest today. So really excited about this one.
Absolutely. Without further ado, great to see Gareth Mauner of Engelbert. Described in many senses, and in number of references, as a wizard, which I got very excited about. And then you went even one step further, not any wizard, but actually Gandalf-like. I mean, this is the top echelon of wizards here. Fantastic to have you join us.
Well, yes, so for context, 10-year qualified regulatory lawyer, worked with investment funds to start with, moved into crypto latterly, almost full-time. And after that period of time, I just felt like I was on a hamster wheel that was never going to stop. And I always had this feeling inside me that I needed to do something of my own. And so here we are with Engelbert, right? So an FCA-authorized investment firm, MiFID license, authorized to approve crypto asset financial promotions in the UK. And that transition has been kind of revelatory in a way.
What I'm really curious in is why this specific niche, why this specific path, mm-hmm. when you could have gone, you know, in-house at a project, or you could have gone and done non-legal consultancy or done media or a whole bunch of different things within this space. Why this very specific, very time-sensitive window of opportunity? Why did you take that one?
Really, when we saw this opportunity come down the track, we almost couldn't believe that it was true. And when we saw this thing that was coming, that was, hey, crypto assets can't be marketed in the UK unless you're FCA authorized or you get a firm to approve them. And there were no firms expressing any interest to the FCA in this at all. The FCA even put that out in a consultation paper to say how they were surprised that no one had come forward. Mm. I sort of looked at that and I couldn't believe my luck in a way. You know, I know crypto well. I provided full-time legal services in that for years, worked with many projects in different areas of crypto. And I know the regulated landscape in the UK as well as anyone. Frankly, I've been a generalist for my entire career, so I know all of COBS and PIRG and the various handbooks that would apply in this context. And I knew that the Venn diagram of Gareth's interests and expertise suddenly coalesced onto this particular thing. And I could not have wished, you know, they say it's a bit like surfing, right? Being an entrepreneur, you've got to catch the wave first and then you've got to see whether you can surf it in. And we sat looking for that wave for a long time. But then when we saw it and it was a big one, we've just been paddling as hard as we can now to try and surf it back in. And we're getting there. It's been a journey, but it's been exciting.
How's it been going and what's involved in this process? Do you kind of check what comes in from the client and does it have the right disclosures? Do you kind of cross-check it against the FCA requirements? And then if it passes muster, you kind of put your insurance and your reputation on the line and sign off on it?
So, you know, that's basically it. So we sign up clients who we want to work with. It's a long process. They have to pass all our due diligence checks. They have to be the right clients. We've been really lucky in the clients that we managed to secure early doors, and we get continued interest from new clients in this space. But ultimately, if you want to market in the UK, you'll send us the ticket, whatever it is, whether it's your website, it's your app, it's a social media post, Discord channel, I don't know, Twitch stream, whatever it is, you'll send it to us and we'll review that against the requirements in COBS. There's some broader requirements that sit within that as well. So the Consumer Duty, which is a set of rules in the UK that require firms that are authorised to meet sort of certain consumer fairness outcomes. And they sort of align nicely with the broader requirements for promotional material to be fair, clear and not misleading. And so we pull in the technical requirements from COBS in the FCA handbook, and we apply then the more principles-based style of regulation to things like whether the communication is fair, whether there's the right risk language in there. We make sure the entire consumer journey is appropriate, so that from the first point that they might see a tweet all the way through to them clicking buy somewhere in that journey, we make sure that that the comms are all okay, that clients know what they're doing. That's really the key bit here. The regime is designed to protect consumers, and you can't The main way to protect consumers is to make sure they understand what they're buying. And then we work with clients just to make sure they understand the rules. Often they're not in the UK, so there's a lot of education, a lot of training. And there's some specific rules around frictions that they have to apply in the consumer journey, which we help them build for and implement.
Is that so onerous from your experience that clients are not bothering, or is it actually quite understandable and it's not too broad and generalized? And also on the regulatory side, is the FCA just waiting to strike and pounce on anything which is slightly ambiguous, or in your experience is this a very reasonable regulator who's really keen to make sure that crypto innovates but is promoted in a fair way that protects consumers?
Clients fall into one of two camps. Either they're absolutely terrified of these rules, they think it's the worst thing in the world, they're not going to touch it ever, and they turn off in the UK, which broadly speaking is frankly bananas from my perspective, but okay, if that's the way they want to play it, then fine. And then the other camp are keen, they're excited, they want to do this right, they want to get a kind of regulatory halo almost of being able to say, yeah, we met those rules and we were good and we could meet them. And then you sort of end up in the technical weeds of some of this stuff, and then suddenly they're sitting back questioning why exactly it is that their risk warning can't be in their brand colour, for instance, or why it is that their appropriateness assessment questionnaire has to, you know, have 7 questions, all of which have to be answered correctly before someone can use their thing. So you do get a bit of that. Then on the other side, so how is the FCA applying this? It's been a learning curve for them, that's for sure. I mean, we had a whole day with them 2-3 weeks back now, just to help them learn how our clients were implementing some of those rules. A lot of questions, you know, it was like an 8-hour day of just firing questions at us. Really to help them understand, well, you have to implement the 4 frictions, that's got a 24-hour cooling off period. How are you actually doing that in practice? Why have you done that screen there? Why is it not over here? Are you notifying clients? So for sure, they're still learning. I think the FCA have taken a relatively proportionate approach to this. There were some very hardline messages very early on, probably even just before the regime came into effect, talking about the outcomes of this, which was to say to firms, look, if you don't comply with this, you're promoting in the UK illegally. If you are promoting illegally in the UK and someone in the UK invests as a result of that promotion, that investment is a proceed of crime and you're now money laundering. And not only will we come after you with a regulatory sanction, we will also come after you under the Proceeds of Crime Act, the money law.
It was a pretty harsh introduction, I have to say. I remember reading this with Phil and going, this is really, really, really strong. I mean, the regulators setting out their stall here in an unquestionable way of their stance on this.
Yeah, and that's I think you're right to think that. I think the big thing that they were surprised by as a regulator was just a lack of communication they had from overseas firms that might want to continue to promote in the regime. And in a way, it was to entice them probably out of their hiding holes and to say, engage with us, please. Tell us what your plans are, because if you don't, we're going to be totally surprised by what happens next, and you might get it entirely wrong, and then we have to come after you, even though you tried. So it was definitively a way of getting people out of their holes and to get them to sort of understand that this was a serious thing that actually had consequences. Everyone understands money laundering regime. Fewer people, particularly if you're like in the US or in Singapore or somewhere, don't actively follow who the FCA are or what they're doing or why they should care about that. So it was definitely a stronger play. But since then, you know, people that have tried to cooperate and meet the requirements have met with, you know, questions and concerns, as there always are with a regulatory regime, particularly a new one, but have been largely able to then satisfy those concerns. And carry on business in a way that sort of is sensible. And you're right that it is about protecting consumers, but the outcome I broadly support, which is, I think this all comes back to consumer duty, which is basically business 101. Do customers know what they're buying? Do they actually understand what it is you're selling them? Have you taken into account who you're selling to as a business? Who's your target market? What is your product suitable for them? And is the pricing and value of that thing fair? And are you giving them the support that they need once they've, you know, invested with you? You know, have you got channels open to them to come and communicate with you and say that you've got issues? That's just business 101, right? I mean, it's in the rules, but if you took the rules away, it would still just be common sense approach to operating a business. So I'm very supportive of the outcomes of this, even though, you know, a lot of the world is looking at this thinking, girl, the UK stuffed itself, hasn't it, right? The market's going to die. No one's going to stay there with all of this. And frankly, I think they're overreacting. I just think it's a regime that works quite well as a conduct regime. And yes, it's slightly weird that the conduct regime came before the actual regulation of the activities themselves. But this was a quick way of just getting some protection in there for consumers while the government and the FCA figured out what on earth crypto is and what it's going to be and how it is actually going to impact people's lives.
And have they worked that out? In the sense that you look at the size of your wave and you look at the fact that you saw this perfect Venn diagram storm opportunity of sort of paddling away, and then you look around and saw no one else was paddling with you. You know, to some degree, that's amazing as an opportunity. To some degree, you kind of want some people paddling alongside you. I mean, is it just the unknown? Is it the lack of experience? Is it the lack of understanding? What is it that means you've managed to get this sort of jump on it? And have the FCA got to a place where you actually feel like you're talking to equals now?
Good questions. Yeah, I mean, it's been nice to just to be able to do our own thing and plough our own furrow. I'm sometimes a bit just tunnel vision in a way, like I've seen this opportunity and I know it's there and I know it exists. Yeah. And so we can maximize this for all it's worth. And we've done, you know, we've done business that we would probably never have been able to do had it not been for the fact that there were not that many other great, good competitors out there. So, you know, there's primarily, what, three parties in the market doing this service now. The original consultation papers expected there to be between, you know, 50 and 100 of them. And I expect the market will get there eventually if people understand more about what's involved. But frankly, the amount of expertise that's really required to do this service well is quite high and probably higher than most people expected to start with. In terms of like how the FCA have sort of got on with that, and are we speaking to equals? I mean, their level of knowledge is excellent. I would say there are particular hang-ups probably there over certain tokens or certain providers, maybe with good justifiable reason, but they're also often just the easy use cases to latch onto. So for instance, you know, people selling meme coins have to really be able to say, what's the utility here? What are you buying? What's the risk of investing in something like a Doge? So that's one thing that we know the FCA really care about. The other is stable coins, particularly algo stable coins. They really hate those. For all the obvious reasons. To the extent that you're not even allowed to call them stables, which is complex when you're an exchange that pulls a lot of your data in from something like a CoinGecko for your asset descriptions, because that's just how they're described in the marketplace and it's just the language that's used. So trying to unwind some of that and get people to rewrite some of those descriptions can be quite challenging.
You know, it's fantastic that people like you have come out and seen the opportunity and are willing to jump in and take the risk, frankly.
Yeah, and it's, you know, my passion has always been about the small players in the market and helping them get here. You know, there are large fees associated with some of these approvals, and so trying to find solutions that help them continue to access the market is really crucial for me, because a lot of the time it's the small projects that try to do things right that end up getting scuppered, particularly by, you know, quite high compliance costs. So that's important to us. And also, you know, we've been in the retail investment space for as long as I've been working as a lawyer. And, you know, Wayne was a retail asset manager, like all of his 70 funds were aimed at retail. So we really care about protecting the end investors to make sure that they properly engage in what it is that they're doing, to try and educate them to make sure that they know what they're getting into. You know, so we're quite radical. You know, we build this thing, we're building Engelbert in the open, which means, you know, with a 12-month lag, we'll publish all our board videos, all our board meetings, all our papers, all our thinking, all our internal memos to allow people to see that. We're already pushing out open source resources on guidance papers on what the FCA's rules mean and how they can be applied on some of those like more nuanced concepts, like what is fair, clear and not misleading. So we're trying to push out knowledge and education into the market.
Well, Gareth, thank you as always. We're going to have to leave it there. Frankly, Mark and I would like to continue talking on a whole bunch of different projects. Every single time you've mentioned something, there is a different project in my mind that goes, yep, need to speak to Gareth about that one. So really, really appreciate the insight. Really appreciate everything you do and the real consideration you give to not only sort of the projects themselves, but also the consumers. And I think to have people like you in the industry stands us in very good stead. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it and look forward to working together again soon.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for having me.